Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I stay excited because the Word of God is not only compelling, it's explosive and enduring. And we are still studying or taking this lesson, this particular lesson from the book of Job. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always do, I take this time to personally thank you, my precious brothers and sisters, for taking the time, those of you who are giving me feedback on the show and comments and advice. I'm telling you, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using it. So thank you very much. Now, the theme song, as always, for the show suggests the question for the hour is, before we start, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through the prophet Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is yet near. That's taken from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. The promise is that if you obey the words of the Lord, you'll find him. If you call upon him right now, he will come respond to you. God said again through King Solomon this time, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinners he giveth travail, gathered up and heaped up, that he may give to him that is good before God. As taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. Now the promise, the blessing, is that God will give you these attributes of wisdom and knowledge and joy. But if you are too much of a sinner, my brothers and sisters, we are all sinners. But if you perpetrate sin too regularly, then you will know, because God will give you only travail, vexation of the spirit, an evil disease, and trauma. And so that's how you know if you're sinning too much outside of God's favor. Again, God says through King David, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. That's taken from Psalms 27, verse 14. The promise is that if you wait on the Lord, he's going to give you what you need to confront you. My precious brothers and sisters, the question again for this hour is, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, again, as I always do, this is a rehearsal, and this is critical, my precious brothers and sisters, that you know that the Bible is written in code, meaning in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is why we are here this evening, to study and learn together. Okay, so let's get on to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Job chapter 13. Job chapter 13, we're going to be looking at verse 20 through 23. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. This is a good request to God. And what this chapter is telling us, this is Job's response to Zophar, the Naamathite, that he was trying to convict Job and convince Job of sin. And this is how Job responds to him after he first addressed Job. And I want you to keep in mind this instruction. This is a good request to God. And this is what Job said in Job chapter 13, verse 20 through 23. Only do not two things unto me. Then I will not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thy hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. So this, among others, are good requests. And so Job, he made a good request to God. Now, to show how this is given in different books of the Bible, turn with me, if you will, to Psalms. We're going to look at King David speaking to Israel, Psalms 37, verse 4 through 6. Psalms 37, or 27, verse 4 through 6. And this is what King David rehearsed to Israel. Very significant. Listen to it, my brothers and sisters. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up high above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. My precious brothers and sisters, those are good requests that we should ask God for. And now let's go to our New Testament compliment. We're going to go to James chapter 1, and we're going to see how the New Testament compares and agrees with good requests to make before God. And this is what we should incorporate ourselves today, more assuredly. It is James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Listen to what James says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. My precious brothers and sisters, that is a good request. Now, I see we're at the first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
It's a book about God, about who he is, his character, his nature. Of course, it's a book about pain and suffering, and my guess is folk go to the book of Job when they are suffering to find answers to the question, why am I suffering? And probably don't find that answer because they're asking the wrong question. God is far greater, far more immense. He is incomprehensible to us. It's not that he cannot be known at all. He's beyond our ability to fully conceive, and we must trust him. So what is the final message of the book of Job about? I must trust, fall down and trust a sovereign God with my life, my family, my health, my future, my plans, my dreams, my aspirations.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete this instruction. This is a good request to God. And we know that James told us in his writing that we should ask for wisdom. Now that is key to godliness, the wisdom of God. And the reason I say it's key to godliness is because wisdom is an accumulation of learning, which enables us to discern and to decipher and to grasp and to rightfully divide inner workings and relationships of man and the world and God. That covers the wherewithal of how we accomplish what we do. So this wisdom is key, and we must ask it in faith, and that's what James is telling us. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that when you ask God for anything, make sure you ask in accordance with his will. My precious brothers and sisters, if he doesn't will it, you will not receive it. And of course, we know that the way the world works and the way that sometimes we get caught up in our asking for worldliness, that God will not give us the talent to be athletic or the talent to be theatrical or the talent to be even industrially minded. All do not receive that. And so you must ask according to God's will. And the way that you know God's will is how you are developing this side of eternity in what you are innately urged to take part in. And that's what I want you to realize, that you are to ask God according to his will. And you want to make sure that you put his will in front of anyone else's instructions, because this is what the book of James teaches us too, that we do not say what we're going to do tomorrow without saying if God wills first. That's key. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back your Bible sources with me to Job, and we're going to look at Job chapter 14 this time. And again, Job is still speaking to Zophar and retorting what Zophar is trying to convict him of. Now, this is what Job is talking about, and I want you to keep in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. We are born into sin. My precious brothers and sisters listening out there, sin is unavoidable. That's the reason why Jesus had to be sent. That's the reason why a Messiah is still being sought after by the Orthodox Jews, because sin is predominant. And it is worse if you don't have the help of God, the Messiah, through Jesus Christ, as we accept him as Christians, to get you out of that confrontation. But we are born into sin. And this is how Job puts it. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. Job says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. And dost thou not open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. My brothers and sisters, we are confronted with sin from the beginning of our existence. And let me show you how it's amplified in Psalms that gives us an indication. We're going to go to Psalms 51. Psalms 51. Turn with me to Psalms 51 and listen, my precious brothers and sisters, how David, King David, rehearsed this to Israel. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, about sin. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Again, against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. My precious brothers and sisters, that is David telling us we're born into sin. More directly he said it than how Job put it. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to go to Romans. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And we're going, Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We're going to look at Romans chapter 7. And I direct your attention to verses 13 through verses 8 through 13. Listen to what Paul says about it today. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the law came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, the commandment is holy, just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And verse 23 gives the completion of the thought. But I see another member, another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. My precious brothers and sisters, listen to what Paul is talking about. Oh, disobedience to God's commandment is sin. And that is what sin stands for. It has always been around. It's a disobedience to God's commandments. And that's what caught us and slew us. And that's what we have to be repentant of. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we have inherited sin from Adam and Eve. And we can't get out of that inheritance. But because of Jesus Christ, we can get through it by repentance and faith in redemption and remission of sin. And that comes by way of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So that's what I want you to know about how to combat sin. We combat sin through Jesus Christ. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Job chapter 14. Again, we're going to look at verse 8. And in Job chapter 14, we're going to look at verse 8. And what I want to do, or Job chapter 14, verse 4, we're going to look at. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the text to you. Only God can save. Now, again, this is Job retorting to Zophar, the Naamathite, that was trying to convict Job and convince him that he had sinned. And so Job has got an understanding that is solid. And that's why I've broken these out into instructions so we can see how Job responded. Only God can save. My brothers and sisters, if you don't understand that, then you're forever lost. Job 14, verse 4 puts it on this wise. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. And we know that God is the only reason that we are clean. We hear in the book of Revelations, chapter 1, verse 5, where it says that Jesus loved us so much that he washed us clean from our blood, from our sins, in his own blood. And he made us kings and priests of God, a kingdom of priests to God who has dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now let's go to verse chapter 15, verse 14 through 16, and Job continues his thought, or he answers Eliphaz. Or I would say in chapter 15, Eliphaz jumps on Job for this position he has. But again, Job is not convicted or convinced by Eliphaz either, but this is how Eliphaz put it in Job chapter 15, verse 14 through 16. He, hearing what Job told Zophar, this is what Eliphaz says. What is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water? And Zophar was telling Job that everything is being tainted because of what happened in the garden. We know at one point God said that the whole world had been condemned because of what Adam did in that garden and because of what Satan and the woman did. But of course, over time, God has given us a reprieve in order to release us from that destruction. And we'll get to that in further studies. But now what we want to go to is Isaiah chapter 43. And listen to what Isaiah said to Israel. When Isaiah, oh, I see we're beyond our break. Let's take the break, and then we'll go to the next instruction.
Usually when we say, hey, you need to humble yourself and repent, we typically see that as like a rebuke, a negative thing. And it's true. I mean, we need to humble ourselves and repent. And that is difficult, but you've got to understand grace always follows humility. And so for us, we need to be people who understand every time I humble myself, it's going to work out for my good. Now what happened with Job is that happened on this earth. And there are times when that happens. I mean, the idea behind this story is that it works out in the end. But there's other places in Scripture, like when you read the book of Hebrews and it talks about these people who have faith, it says very specifically at the end that there were some people who never got to see it in their lifetime. But their reward was going to come later. They were willing to suffer whatever they needed to do on this earth because they so believed. They had a faith, and they said, no, God promised a reward for those who earnestly seek him.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Amen, my precious brothers and sisters. And just like the commercial indicated, that only God can save. And he saves in his time. And his time is eternal. His time is not standard. Hours and minutes and days and weeks. And we must take that into account. So we seek his salvation. It must be for the duration of this experience we're having inside of eternity. And listen now, this is how Isaiah puts it in Isaiah chapter 43. This is more pronounced than how it was read in Job. But listen to what Isaiah says about God only saves. This is chapter 43, verse 7 to begin with. This is what Isaiah rehearsed to Israel. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. And then verse 10 through 13 gives us the completion of the thought. Isaiah says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work. And who will let it? Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? That's almost exclusive that God is saying through the prophet that he is the only one that can be saved. Now, let's look at Acts so we can get a compliment and see how it connects in the New Testament concerning this. We're going to go to Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. Listen to how it was put in the book of Acts concerning God's salvation. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? But be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which it became the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name up under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. You hear that, my friends, brothers and sisters? Only through Jesus Christ is there salvation, because God has given all power in heaven and in earth unto his son Jesus. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that today all power has been given to Jesus by God over all heaven and earth. And that's what I just mentioned, and that is the conclusion of the matter in this particular instruction. Only God saves through his son Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back to the book of Job. We're going to look at Job chapter 14 again. We're going to look at several verses. And as I read these verses to you, what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction. Predestination is our destiny. My brothers and sisters, the author and finisher of our faith, the author of our eternal salvation, he that directs our path. Be not misunderstanding and deceived, my brothers and sisters. God has already ordained us to be who we are becoming. Do you hear that, my brothers and sisters? God has already ordained who it is we are becoming. We are the ones that are in the mix, and we are finding out what our destiny is. Now, this is how Job put it in Job chapter 14, verse 5 and verse 10. He says, "See ye, our days are determined, the number of our months are with thee. Thou hast appointed our bounds that we cannot pass." And verse 10 continues the thought. "But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" And verse 12 through 15 completes the thought. "So man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me in secret until thy wrath be past, and thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have the desires of the work of thy hands." My precious brothers and sisters, that tells us through Job that God has already determined how it's going to be with each and every one of us. Now let's hear how he gave the same understanding to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, turn your Bible sources with me to Jeremiah. We're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 1 through 5. Listen to what he told Jeremiah. "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," listen to what he said to Jeremiah, "Behold, I formed thee in the belly. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I have ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." My precious brothers and sisters, that's an example of where we sit with God. Every hair on our head has been numbered. That's what Jesus told us, and God cares for us. So he has already authored and finished who we are. And to illustrate how the New Testament comes into play and complements this, turn with me to Romans. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Listen to how Paul puts it, and this is significant. We're going to be looking, I see we're at our third break. Let's take our break, and then we'll continue with this lesson.
My youngest son is studying Job, and so we had this big discussion about Job. He comes in the other day, me and my girlfriend are studying the book of Job. I said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you know that Job was the first book of the Bible, that the Bible is not listed in chronological order?" He said, "Yes, Daddy, I found that out. I researched it. I found that out." And he said he was fascinated with Job's friends, and so we started talking about them, what Job calls worthless physicians. And we were talking about how they falsely accused him. And he's fascinated with the conversation that went on in heaven about Job's life. And then finally I said to him, "Do you recognize that Job's tragedies was only a short phase out of his whole life? That the whole book is written around a brief moment in his life? That the substratum of Job's life was continued blessings leading up to it and a double portion after it. And this book is written about the slice in between. That slice in between is the crushing. And it really brings both the blessing before and after together. It is the hinge that holds Job's life together. If I had not suffered, then when people criticized me when I became successful and said, you know, you're doing it for the big crowds and you got the big lights and you're on big TV and you've got all this success and you're selling all these books, you make all this money, I would have believed them.
Mm.
But they only saw one side of the profile. They didn't see all the years I preached in West Virginia and didn't have money to pay the light bill or the water bill. You can never allow people to define you by one moment in your life.
Right.
When your life is the substratum of a series of events that culminates in an expression of you, and you don't really know who you are for years.
Mm.
Because your wife, I wish I was talking to your wife now, because your wife could really get this, but you might do it too. My wife can't bake. Your wife can bake. His wife bakes really good, okay? So she brought me this red velvet cake, inspired me to go bake them. And my wife swears she can't bake a cake, but the secret to the cake is not taking it out of the oven just because it looks good. If the cake rises and turns brown and you get excited because it looks good and you snatch it out of the oven, then as it cools, it will fall.
That's right.
Because it's not done yet. And a lot of times people make assessments about themselves too soon.
Mm-hmm.
You're not done yet. If you just stay in the oven and trust him who has began a good work in you, when he takes you out and exposes you, you won't fall.
Mm-hmm.
Because you endured the heat of that period in your life.
Wow.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're talking about predestination is our destiny. And just as the commercial indicated that we must stay the course, then we must be sure that we're within the will of God. And we know if we're within the will of God because he's going to continue to feed us his wisdom, his knowledge, his faith, his understanding, his love, his joy, peace, his long-suffering. That's how you measure your worth with God. If you're not accumulating and abounding in what those attributes I just mentioned, then you need to check yourself. Because you're out of order, and you will continue to struggle until you get that order in line. All right? So we're going to look now at Romans chapter 8, and this is how Paul rehearsed it to the Romans about predestination. Listen to what Paul says. He says in verse 29, chapter 8, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We will accomplish the will of God, my brothers and sisters, if we stay the course. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not be with him also and freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the hand of God, and also is intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, Paul says, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, Neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My precious brothers and sisters, stay the course. That's how you accomplish your destiny in God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God not only knows, but he has determined our destiny before we became into existence. My brothers and sisters, before we were even thought of, remember what he told Jeremiah? I knew you. That is very profound. And that is why faith is so significant for us to have. Remember, one of those helps that we should have is faith, because faith is what's going to give us the answer to our request. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources again back to Job. We're going to look at Job chapter 14 again and see what Job says about this particular instruction. Man suffers because of disobedience to God. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? So that is the reason that we suffer, because of disobedience. That is the bottom line. And so we have to realize that we must know God's commandments and obey God's commandments in order to minimize our suffering. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? We are suffering because of disobedience to God. And this is how Job put it in Job chapter 14, verse 6 through 22. Listen, verse 16, and it's through 22. Listen to what Job says. Job says, "For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up my iniquities. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth. Thou changest his countenance and sendeth him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn." My precious brothers and sisters, what is Job saying? Because of disobedience, we suffer. Listen to how Moses put it in Psalms 90. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 90, and we're going to read several verses. Listen to what Moses says in Psalms 90. And by the way, Moses is the one attributed to writing this particular psalm. Verse 3, Moses says, "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men." And verse 7 through 15 gives the details. "For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our year are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thy anger, and even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath? So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil." My precious brothers and sisters, do you hear about the suffering of man? Not only does Job identify it, but Moses supplements what Job identified. And it tells us that sin is the number one culprit in our lives. And it's because of sin that we suffer, my brothers and sisters. We know that Paul said the wages of sin is death. And we know that God told Adam, the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. I see we have reached the last break for this evening. Let's take the break, and then we'll complete the lesson.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at the instruction, man suffers because of disobedience to God, and we have verified it through several texts that is the case that we are all under because of the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we would not be subjected to suffering and to all of the other ills that comes with it and death if it were not for that infraction. And we should understand that the death is twofold. The death is both physical and both spiritual. And we know that it was not identified two deaths until the book of Revelations. And this is critical for us to note, my precious brothers and sisters. That's why Jesus Christ came to relieve us from the spiritual death that we are subjected to. The physical death, we have no reprieve. And that is not why God sent Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ to save, I say, his image and likeness. His image and likeness was not flesh. His image and likeness is spirit. And so God condemned men for their disobedience through Adam, and death over the flesh is permanent. But because of the spirit made in God's image and likeness, we have reprieve through Jesus Christ. But it's good to understand that there are two deaths, and as the instruction indicates again, man suffers because of disobedience to God. All right, let's go to now the final instruction for this evening. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Job chapter 15. We're going to look at verse 20 through 25 in Job chapter 15. And this is Eliphaz, the Temanite, again trying to convince and convict Job that he has sinned against God. And what Eliphaz says is a good statement of fact. But, of course, we know that God's ways, as the prophet Isaiah says, is higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So God, again, told Moses he will be gracious to whom he will be gracious, and he will be merciful to whom he will be merciful. So it doesn't matter how we construct our rationale. God is the answer. And in this instance, Job was not convicted or convinced by either of those of his cohorts, Zophar or Bildad or Eliphaz, because they were using man's rationale. And this is what Zophar said concerning wickedness. The instruction again is this is what wickedness can expect. And this is a good statement. Listen to what Zophar said in verse 20 through 25 of chapter 15. The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden to the oppressor. A dreadful sound is in his ears. In prosperity, the destroyer shall come upon him. He believeth not that he shall return out of darkness, and he waiteth for the sword. He wandereth abroad for bread, saying, where is it? He knoweth not the day of darkness is ready at his hand. Trouble and anguish shall make him afraid. They shall prevail against him as a king ready to go to battle. For he stretcheth out his hand against God and strengthens himself against the Almighty. So what Zophar is saying, I'm sorry, it was Eliphaz. What Eliphaz is saying is that the wicked man does these things, and this is what he can expect. Trial, trauma, strife, shame. He will experience fear, all of that. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we're going to see how it was expressed by Moses to Israel. And this is very significant. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. Listen to what Moses rehearsed to Israel concerning the same about wickedness. And this is what verse 15 says. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. In verse 20 through 24, completes that thought. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he has consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish from the earth. And thy heaven shall be over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust, for heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. My precious brothers and sisters, what are we experiencing today? And what have we experienced from the time that Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden? You can see how wickedness has destroyed us, and that we cannot get out of this destruction only through the grace, the mercy and grace of God through his son, Jesus Christ. This is the determining factor. And now let's read the compliment. Turn your Bible sources with me to Romans. We're going to see how this compares and agrees. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And we're going to read what Paul rehearsed to the Israelites or to the Romans concerning this. this wickedness, what wickedness can expect. This is Romans chapter 6, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Paul is telling us, look, if you are going to continue in your wickedness, you can expect disease and death and all of what comes with death. But if you turn to righteousness, you will be undergirded with God's mercy and grace that will sustain you through this that you are experiencing. Not that you will not continue to experience it, because God said the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And God also says that you will be held accountable for your works. And Solomon said it best in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 or 14. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the matter, that God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we're going to suffer because of our sins. But if we are repentant, if we have Jesus Christ in our lives, then we receive from the fruits of the Spirit that comforter that Jesus says that he would send us. We would receive long-suffering. We would receive endurance. We would receive patience to get through the trauma that Paul is talking about in verse 19. Listen to what Paul continues to say in verse 20. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. My brothers and sisters, what comes along with death? Sickness, illness, strife, agony, anxiety, stress, all of those negatives. Verse 22, again, Paul says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Again, what is Paul telling us? He says, even though you're suffering for your sins, you will receive what you need because the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ will give you that, and you will be sustained unto the end of your life. And he concludes with this, my brothers and sisters, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it is the eternal life that's going to carry us through this experience. And we should note that when God created man out of the dust of the earth, man did not become a living soul until he breathed into him the breath of life. So again, the Spirit is going to sustain us. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that Jesus said, the weeping and gnashing of teeth can be expected for wickedness. And only through Jesus can we be relieved. Okay, that concludes our lesson for tonight. Now, as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you, as we always do, and bless you for your participation and encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for choosing Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Tuesday night here on Blog Talk Radio for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.